A reading from the Epistle, Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 4, and chapter 2, 5 through 12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways, by the prophets, but by these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. This is the word of the Lord.
O hear my prayer, thou God of all the nations. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's World Communion Sunday, and it fascinates me every year, the idea that Christians everywhere, all across the globe, are gathering together to share in the bread and the cup. In great cathedrals, under thatched roof huts, in Sunday best, in boots and in jeans, and in whatever one has on one's back. There is one body, there is one spirit, there is one church, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, there is one God and parent of us all and through all and over all around the world. And that is what World Communion is all about. We are delighted today to welcome Dennis Jewett, who is Broadway's new chancel choir director. We are going to love this guy, and I hope he likes us. He is a great soul, and what a great anthem selection he has made for his first Sunday with us here in this church. For everyone born a place at the table. I happened to walk into the choir room on Wednesday night when Dennis was speaking with the choir about the meaning of those words and their connection to our mission and vision statement here at Broadway. We are working to create a church and world where all people are welcome and belong in the beloved community of God. In other words, we are working for everyone born a place at the table. What a great text to begin a ministry, and what a great text to celebrate World Communion Sunday. And I would say, what a great text also to sing and to hear song on the same Sunday we turn our attention to all of the asylum seekers and refugees on our southern border and elsewhere over this whole earth. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread, a shelter, a space, a safe place for growing. For everyone born, a star overhead. In 2023, over 100 million people, 100 million people were forced to flee their homes due to disaster, violence, or some other reason for their displacement. Almost 7 million of those were officially designated as asylum seekers, many of which made their way from or through Central and South America following the North Star to the United States, or El Norte, as it is commonly called. These are our brothers. These are our sisters. They are our siblings. And they come seeking safety and clean water and bread and a sound place for them and their children to lay their heads. They come up through the Darien Gap, just as one woman and her young son came, who stayed here in our shelter just last year. They come fleeing violence, risking rape, expecting extortion, and praying against kidnapping, all because they want to be safe and they want to be free. And beloved, these are the ones whom Jesus was speaking of when he said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me water. And when I was a stranger in your land, you welcomed me." And so therefore, at least among Christian people, at least among Christian people, the wrong and frankly racist rhetoric against them needs to stop, and it needs to stop now. These are not the criminals. They are the victims. And as I said, they are our brothers, and we are, according to the very beginning of the Bible, supposed to be our brothers' keepers, our brothers' and our sisters' caretakers. And that siblinghood that we have with them is not defined by the same boundaries of blood and soil and citizenship that define all the customs and clans and nations of this world. Our citizenship, St. Paul said, is in heaven. And that means that we first and foremost belong to the family of God, and we pledge our allegiance first and foremost, not just to one nation under God, but to the God who has given birth to all of the nations of the world. That is the beloved community which we belong to. For there is one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, and one God and Mother of us all. And when that mother looks down on this earth and she does not see the same borders and boundaries and walls which so many of us see, she sees one world. She sees one family. She sees one single sparrow fallen from the sky in search of someone, anyone, to come and help her mend her broken wing. There were 100 million displaced persons in the world in 2023. That's a whole lot of sparrows. And like it or not, truth be told, there will be even more in the years to come. As the earth gets hotter and hotter, the seas rise taller and taller, authoritarianism grows stronger and stronger, and the gap between the rich and poor gets wider and wider. Higher and higher walls are not going to help. They will keep coming. They will find a way, even if it's through the deadly desert. And deterrence through cruelty. Deterrence through cruelty will only make them more desperate and more determined and more disaffected. And this world, well, more dangerous. Sunday by Sunday, former senior minister Steve Shoemaker here at this church used to say, the world is too dangerous for anything but truth. Let me give you some sobering truth this morning. This is a dangerous world indeed. Iran, a nuclear nation, is firing missiles on Israel, a suspected nuclear nation. This past week, a Ukrainian car bomb killed an official of a Russian-occupied nuclear power plant. The whole world is warming. And people in the Appalachian Mountains were the primary victims of a Poseidon-like fury flung from the Atlantic Ocean. And people all across the Southern Hemisphere fear for their lives due to gang violence and war and the eviction of law and order. We can't control the weirding world and its weather. We can't contain catastrophe. We can't put a cork on the flow of the wretched refuse of humanity huddled, some like cattle in 18-wheelers, simply yearning to breathe free. This is our dangerous world, and we have to face, hear me say this, we have to face its stone cold hard truth. Our problems cannot be resolved through isolationism and withdrawal. Walls will not make us or our world any safer. And nationalistic policies cannot fix international problems. And it makes no sense. It makes no sense to be presented with false choices between helping those in Tennessee and North Carolina and those in Israel or Palestine or Haitian refugees in Ohio. We are the richest and the most powerful nation in the world. And you know what? We have to engage the world. We have to invest. And we have to accept our moral responsibility for this earth and its inhabitants as fellow citizens and fellow siblings in this whole wide global family. Yes, it is a great big world, but it is no longer an isolationist world. It is a deeply interconnected world. Yes, it's a big world, but Disney was right. It's also, well, it's a small world after all. And as Steve used to say, it's a world that is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. I spoke of Poseidon earlier. This summer, our chapel choir youth went to the United Nations and sang a concert in the lobby hall of that esteemed institution. They sang just before the statue of Poseidon and also a mural painted by a man named Rufino Tamayo. Pardon my Spanish. It came from Lubbock. Rufino Tamayo, a painting titled La Fraternidad, or in English, The Brotherhood. We've put it online, but for those of you who are in the sanctuary, I do something I rarely ever do. I invite you to pull it up on your cell phone right now. You can Google La Fraternidad UN or Rufino Tamayo if you know how to spell that. While you're on there, don't bother checking the Cowboys score. They don't play until tonight. In the mural, there's a crowd of people. And they're all surrounding a great big fire. And on first look, it seems that each of them is standing akimbo, elbow to hip, as if standing sort of hostile, watching the world go up in flames, doing nothing about it. But then if you look closer to the image, if you look closer at the image, you see that they are not standing akimbo, but they're actually standing, embracing one another, arms to the back of one another, surrounding this warming campfire. They are not standing watching the world burn. Rather, they are embracing one another around the campfire of life. And it seems to me It seems to me that on this World Communion Sunday, that's our choice. The choice is between the two, to stand arms on our hips, watching the world burn down or drown, or to make another decision, to huddle around one another and embrace and take care and to try to create a community with each other for one another. For brotherly love. I know which one we must choose. I know which one we must choose if we want to simply survive on this planet. For as Dr. King used to say, we must learn to live together as brothers, or we are going to perish together as fools. And no one, no nation, and no individual will be immune. We need brotherhood, beloved. We need sisterhood. We need la fraternidad. And we need love. For this world is much too dangerous without it, for them, for us, and for everyone born with the same stars overhead and earth underfoot and God creating and loving all. For everyone born, a place at the table. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together, all of God's brothers and sisters and siblings do say, Amen.